We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
On the Wolfpack Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Play ball!
Welcome to the Nevada Wolfpack Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Josh Sushon.
Welcome to the inaugural edition of the Nevada Wolfpack Baseball Podcast. Looking forward to this one. There's a lot of great stories that we can tell about Nevada baseball present and past. I'm your host, Josh Sushon, and looking forward to bringing you those stories. And for our leadoff edition, what better way to celebrate current baseball for Nevada and past baseball of Nevada as we welcome in redshirt junior pitcher Jake Jackson and his father, Wade. Wade played for the Wolfpack, and now his son pitches for the Wolfpack. And so both of you guys, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for leading us off.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so I was trying to figure out where to start with this, and let's go with this. So I don't know if you guys have a specific memory about when it was that Jake decided, I'm going to come to Nevada just like my dad did. Whether, Jake, you told your dad or if it was at the time that you signed, but let's start with you, Jake. Did you have like a specific moment when you decided, yeah, just like dad did, I'm going to do this, and this is when I told dad?
Well, it started with me just being recruited here. I always knew like this was one of my like main schools just because of his background here. And so I think before my senior year of high school, I started getting recruited by a couple schools, some in Southern California and then obviously Nevada. And so Silverman offered me up on a trip here, and that's when they offered me. And then dad and mom also came up with me. So they got to experience the whole thing. And then once we got home, we were playing down in a tournament, in LA with El Toro, my high school team. And then funny story, we were playing against Owen Schartz, who is also one of our pitchers now. And we were facing him, and Silverman was out there watching him, and Schartz was already committed. So Silverman was talking to me, and he's like, hey, so when are we going to get you on? I think my dad was in Arizona or something at this point. He was coaching. So I called him on the way home, and I was like, look, man, I'm doing this thing. Like I'm committing today.
And Wade, what do you remember about that conversation?
I was actually in Atlanta, Georgia, coaching one of my travel ball 15U teams at the time. And it was funny because I was actually heading to an Atlanta Braves game with a car full of kids and players. And he called, and, you know, I was heading to the field, and I told him, actually, you know, give it a couple hours. I want you to think about it. And you know, it's bittersweet for me, obviously, but I wanted him to really think about it. And he called me a couple hours later. I was headed back to actually the hotel from the baseball game. And he said he had made his mind up, and that was it. So for me, it's, you know, it's bittersweet, but I know exactly where I was at and at the time when he called.
So Wade, when you went on the recruiting visit with your wife and with your son, what type of memories brought back to you when you were on UNR's campus?
I mean, memories obviously of I remember why I chose UNR. Back when I was, you know, actually at Saddleback Junior College, when I got to go on my recruiting trip, you know, seeing the brick buildings again and seeing why I chose to go to Nevada. And, you know, he kind of got the same impression just from, you know, it was fun being able to drive him. We went in a day early and we were able to drive him around and show him, you know, kind of the old stopping grounds that I had. And you know, knowing the area was pretty exciting for me. Obviously.
How often had you been back to Reno and how much had things changed, whether it's the field itself, the campus, the city? How much did you go, wow, I can't believe how different this place is?
So I actually went back when actually Jake was about 1.5. Me and my ex-wife went back at the time, and I hadn't been back since I finished playing there. And, you know, saw Coach Powers in the then there was no batting cage inside, obviously. So the batting cage was inside, and seeing that stuff and reminiscing with him a little bit. But we went back to look at houses, actually. We thought about moving there. But before that, I had gone probably, gosh, when Jake was maybe 13 or 14, I had a travel team that we took.
Yeah, he decided not to take me on that trip, too. Yeah.
To play in a tournament up there and just do a showcase. So we did a showcase up there and did that. And that was actually the first time I saw that, you know, they had turf and stuff. Cause when I played, it was pure grass and dirt. So it was new for me.
Wait a minute. You didn't take your son with you on this travel ball? You got to explain why. What's going on?
Probably, I think he was 13 at the time. So it was a coaching, it was a work related trip, not just a, you know, so yeah.
Jake, how much throughout the entire, you know, just like growing up and playing baseball and then starting to get recruited, how much was your dad a resource? How much did he say, like, you know, hey, how about this school? Or what types of advice and guidance did he give you about making that decision?
Oh, I mean, this man's been in the back pocket of me for my whole life. I mean, he's been my coach since I grew up playing. And then finally, when I got to high school and stuff, he kind of stepped back and became a dad and not a coach. So he was always at the games and always, I mean, he's always got the connections and knows who to talk to and what to do and how to present myself every day with the right work ethic and kind of mindset in order to put myself in positions that I'm in right now. So, I mean, the way that he's pushed me and just set me up, knowing his background and his mindset and goals for me, like he's the number one person that I trust.
So let me delve into this about Wade's playing career from your perspective, Jake. Do you remember approximately how old you were when you realized, okay, dad played ball and dad was good. Like, dad was really good. Dad played professional baseball. So he really knows what he's talking about. And he did this himself. Do you remember about how old you were?
Yeah. I mean, I think when he was coaching me in Little League, like, I mean, he was always just more of a dad to me than a coach. So growing up, it was kind of like when we started running, he started with BPA and he started running his own like travel ball clubs that I started realizing like, damn, this man really knows what he's talking about. Number one, number two, he's one of the smartest coaches that I've ever met and played for. And number three, I mean, his background just backs up everything else that he has done for himself too.
So Wade, it's not easy to find college baseball statistics on the internet from back in the day. However, thanks to the good folks at thebaseballcube.com, we have what you did at Nevada as a junior and as a senior. And junior year was good, but then senior year. All right. Do you know how good the numbers were, Jake, for your dad?
I know he went crazy his senior year for sure, but I'm not exactly sure.
All right, here we go. Batting average 369, on base percentage 427, slugging percentage 631. So that's an OPS of over 1,000. 13 bombs, 55 RBIs in 49 games.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty good, but I mean, you got to factor in the Reno altitude in there at some point.
And let's say I played with a broken finger.
Broken finger?
I did. I had a broken finger, my ring finger. So I actually broke my ring finger in a pregame warm-up drill on a Friday. Got carted up to orthopedic center. I want to say it was against Santa Barbara at home. I carted up, had it x-rayed, broke the tip, fingernail popped off, and I still played all three games.
Was that early in the season, late in the season, or when was it?
I want to say it was mid-year. Okay. Yeah, I know I hit a home run that Sunday against Santa Barbara. So that was pretty cool.
So that's when you guys were in the Big West, and that's big-time baseball in the Big West.
That was Big West both years, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now you got drafted after your junior year and came back for your senior year, right?
I did get drafted by the Cardinals after my junior year, yes.
Okay, tell us about that decision and what type of negotiations, if any, there were. I see it's the 43rd round. Just tell us about just that decision-making process.
It was pretty easy. I thought we had a really good team going into my senior year. You know, obviously the goal as a college baseball player is to go to Omaha, or at least a regional, and I thought we had the team to do it. I believe my senior year we went on a 22-game win streak. And then we end up losing a game, I think, at home against Stanford, and we fell apart. And I think I want to say we lost like 15 or 16 games in a row after that.
Oh, my.
But I think, you know, at that time getting drafted, and, you know, obviously that's the goal of every player is to go play at somewhat at the pro level. But I, you know, also the goal was to try and make the College World Series, and I thought we had the team returning to do that.
What are some of your other best memories, favorite memories of playing for the Wolfpack, either junior year or senior year? What kind of stands out the most?
I'll be honest, going to, I believe it was New Mexico State at that time. It was in Las Cruces. So I want to say I hit 7 home runs that weekend. I think we hit like 30 something as a team. And I'll be honest, it was 40 mile an hour winds and it was blowing out. So you hit a fly ball in the outfield, it was literally a home run. So that was probably one of the biggest memories I have, is going there. I mean, and if you've ever been to Las Cruces, it's not very big. It's a pretty small town, but, you know, when the wind blows, it blows straight out. And I'm pretty sure we hit over 30 home runs that weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Be thankful you were not pitching that weekend, Jake.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, we've had some of those now in our days playing at Air Force in New Mexico, but 30 home runs, I think that's not going to be touched anytime soon.
All right, Wade, let's talk about draft day your senior year. The Angels select you in the 29th round, 1996. The internet did exist back then. I believe it was mostly just dial-up. How did you find out that the Angels selected you in 96?
I was actually working for my mother at that time at a pediatrics business, and she actually got the phone call on her work phone. So I got to go into her office and took a phone call from back then. It was Gary Miller was actually the scout that drafted me and showed up at my house.
When he shows up at your house, what are negotiations like? How long do they last? What's the time between when you got drafted and the time that you made your way to Boise, Idaho to start your professional career?
I remember it to this day, because Gary Miller walked in, he goes, here's your contract. You leave in 3 days for Boise, I believe it was. And I signed my name and he's walking out the door saying, I gotta go do my job now. It's getting even harder. And I said, well, you just did all the drafts, so your job's, and he goes, no, I gotta go replace you. So my job is to go replace you now. So that kind of hit home. And I think I left 3 days later to go to Boise and started physicals day one, and practice started the next day.
I want to ask you about all that, but that's a really powerful statement that he says.
Yeah.
You know, it's my job to go replace you now, to go find somebody else. What did that moment teach you about just how hard professional baseball is and the road ahead?
That's actually probably taught me more now than it did back then, because I use that story still to this day when I'm coaching. I'll be honest, I used it last night with my 12-year-old travel team. Just kind of explaining that it's not easy job, and even in college and high school, they're, you know, college coaches and high school coaches and even big league guys, their job is to win every year. You know, a college coach isn't going to be a nice, I'm not saying they're not nice coaches, but their job is to win. If they don't win, they don't have a job. You know, and I try to explain that to all our kids that we coach. You know, we coach about 200 kids on a regular basis weekly. And that story has stuck with me since I signed my name on the dotted line for the Angels.
When you went to Boise, did you fly or did you drive?
I flew.
You flew. All right. So as you're flying to Boise, how much do you remember about what's going through your head? You know, I would think that, okay, you're super excited because you've signed this professional contract. It's what you've always wanted to do. But now all of a sudden, it's okay, it's real now. But what was going through your mind back then?
Go prove yourself all over again. I mean, bottom line is that's what you have to do. You have some new coaches. you've never been around. You're going to meet them for the first time, and you have to prove yourself from day one that you can play the game.
I'm looking at the 1996 Boise Hawks, and there's a few guys who made the major leagues. One position player, Trent Durrington. And then there, that was your roommate?
Every road trip was my roommate.
All right. Tell us some stories about Trent.
From Australia. Greatest guy I've ever met in the game, and would run through a brick wall for you. He was probably, God, I want to guess he was 5'7", but probably 215, built of pure muscle. And, you know, it was fun because of his accent and watching him play every day. And you know, he wouldn't stop on a baseball field, played second base and just went hard everything he did.
So he made the major leagues. He didn't have a long career in the major leagues, but he made it. Do you remember finding out or how you found out that your old roommate had made it to the show?
I don't. I want to say I was watching a game one day, and I remember seeing his name pop up.
When's the last time you talked to Trent? Do you have any?
I haven't talked to him since I left the Boise. I left the Angels. So I had one kid I talked to that played. He was a center fielder. I can't remember his name now, but he played 10 years in the minors. Never got a. I had three or four guys that played three or, you know, 8 or 9 years in the minors and just never got the stint. But, you know, that's bottom line is I made a decision that it was tough and there's a lot of politics that are involved in the big leagues. And I had to make a decision to either keep playing or move on with my life. And I decided to move on.
Tell us more about that decision. Like, why was it? I mean, I'm looking at the numbers that you had. You hit 282, 374 on base, 410 slugging, hit a couple of home runs. You stole five bases, that short season ball. You know, why did you decide to stop playing?
Kind of saw the writing on the wall that if I wasn't a high draft pick, I wasn't going to be given the opportunity. I platooned at third base and left field, and I was behind guys that got drafted ahead of me, obviously got more money, and I thought I outplayed them on a regular basis, outworked them. But, you know, seeing the writing on the wall that it is a very difficult and going to be hard, I got what I wanted out of baseball, and I made a decision to kind of just move on with my life.
Did you know that you wanted to get into coaching right away?
I did not. So I didn't, but I did right away when I got home from the minors. I actually had a neighbor who wanted me to coach a travel ball team in Orange County, and that was probably the first or second travel ball team in Orange County at the time. This was back in 97. And he was just a neighbor, a family friend, wanted me to coach his 12-year-old and their team. And so I did it for probably till Jake really started walking. He'd come to the games. We put him in his, you know, little playpen, and he'd watch and play. But you know, I think it was about 1.5 when I said, okay, it's time to, you know, let that go a little bit and start working a little bit harder. And I quit coaching for probably 7 years. So it wasn't until Jake was about 8 that I started coaching again.
So Jake, as your dad's been telling these stories about his time at Nevada and then later at playing professional baseball, I've seen numerous times that you've smiled, you've kind of smirked. What are some of the things that have come to your mind as you've heard him talk about his career?
I mean, these are just stories that I've never really gotten to dig deep into either. So it's kind of cool hearing it from his perspective and just hearing it on a firsthand basis, like the experiences that he's had and stuff, knowing like kind of the relationships with roommates and stuff, kind of the same thing I'm going with now. Like, I mean, my roommates here are some of my closest friends and best friends and some guys that are going to be in my wedding too. So it's like things like that just kind of hit home for me. Whereas he's talking about pro ball, I'm still in college. So just stuff like that.
The other thing, Wade, about being in the Northwest League, that's some of the longest bus rides that exist in minor league baseball. I mean, Boise, Idaho is just not close to hardly anywhere else.
So we actually were lucky. We had probably the best boosters in the country, and we actually flew a lot.
Really?
So we actually
short season rookie ball flew.
We actually flew a lot out of Boise because I think it was cheaper, and so we'd fly into Seattle and fly into Portland and do our Eugene trips in Seattle and do our Yakima trips. I mean, obviously, when we got there, we got on a bus. Our longest trip I think I took on a bus was we had a 3-day trip, and we actually, you know, played for probably one of the toughest coaches in minor league baseball, you know, Kochman at the time. And you know, that's a whole nother day you could talk about story, but you know, he took us on a 3-day trip before days off. So we got to go to a lake. But I remember, you know, the bus rides, yes, you did have the bus rides. You leave at midnight, you try and find, there was days where I was sleeping up above in the, luggage compartment with the, egg crate and sleeping on pad and, you know, 8 or 10 hours, get into the hotel at 8 a.m. and go to sleep until noon and get on the baseball field.
Some of the other guys that were your teammates, a young Ramon Ortiz, he later became a starter for the Angels when they won the World Series in 2002. Jared Reagan, he made it to the majors. He played for the Mets. He played for the Indians. Brandon Puffer also made it. Any stories about those three guys or any of the other pitchers that you recall?
Brandon Puffer actually grew up probably 5 minutes from where I went to high school. Played at Lugano Hills High School. I played at El Toro High School. So meeting him for the first time, he was actually, I think that was his second year. So he was only around my year when we were doing tryouts. He got sent down to rookie ball, back down to rookie ball that year because he was younger, obviously. Even back then, watching Ramon pitch was unbelievable. Like you know, seeing him go on the mound, it was a different character. And that's a kid that you knew back then was going to go into the big leagues.
Wade, did you grow up as an Angels fan or a Dodgers fan?
I'm actually a Braves fan.
Braves fan. Did not see that one coming.
I grew up watching TBS. You know, that's all that we had back then. I remember the day I got ESPN. We got ESPN. I think I was 14 years old, a freshman in high school, when we got cable that was inputted into our, the street that year. And so I grew up watching TBS and watching the Braves every day I could.
Well, that totally destroys my question about watching the 2002 World Series and your former teammate Ramon Ortiz on the mound and what you were going through. So make it something really good.
I was actually at Game 7.
Really?
So I was at Game 7. And I actually got tickets. I was working at Trader Joe's at the time. I was a manager there. And one of my clerks, actually his girlfriend, worked for Disneyland at the time. She called and said she really needed to talk to her boyfriend. And I said, well, he's on a register. Is there something I can help you with? Is it an emergency? And she kind of explained to me. And I said, well, I can grab him if you can get two more tickets. She goes, I can get as many as as you guys need. So I literally just walked into my shift. It was a noon start or 10 a.m. start. So I called my assistant manager on the intercom. I said, hey, I'll pay for your ticket if I can leave right now and you're coming with me, and explain why. So we left 10 minutes later and drove to the stadium and I was sitting there for Game 7. I remember it to this day.
Yeah, so do I. I was working for the Oakland Tribune back then. I was the beat writer for the Giants, and I remember Game 6 more, because Game 6, I remember I wrote a story about how the Giants have won their first World Series in San Francisco. And then around the 7th or 8th inning, I realized the Angels are going to come back and win this game. But I saved that story. I don't know what I did with it later, but I know that I saved it and started writing a new story because I wanted to have a version of the story that I had written, which turned out to never get printed. But what I remember most was those thunder sticks.
Thunder sticks.
Yes.
Red thunder sticks.
Did Jake just naturally start playing baseball on his own, or how much did you put a bat in his hand and a ball in his hand and and say, hey, come along with me as I coach these kids?
Jake played. He started T-ball. So, funny story, Jake started T-ball when he was probably 4.5, 5 with a really good friend of ours, coached the team. And I wasn't coaching at the time. I would just go watch, sit in a lounge chair. And I couldn't believe watching what I was watching, because I'm more geared towards hard-nosed baseball and not running around the field with 5-year-olds. But he probably didn't really start playing hardcore baseball till 8 or 9. He actually rode dirt cross. So he rode motorcycles and raced motorcycles around tracks and stuff until he broke his foot. And then he hung that up and got a little bit more serious in baseball and ate all the way up till now. And I remember when he was probably 15 years old, I told him, at that time, he wasn't really pitching. He just kind of started pitching. And I said, Saddleback College is a great place. You'll probably go there for a couple of years and that might be the end. And then, I remember having that discussion with him that I didn't, at that point, he just wasn't involved enough and didn't see himself, getting there. And one day it just clicked and he started pitching and things happened, and he pretty much did it on his own. I wasn't a pitcher, so I didn't work with him and he caught like a kid for a long time. And then, he started pitching for the organization I work with now, back when he was 14, 15 years old, and it just kind of came along.
Jake, let's go back to the broken foot. Tell us about riding the bike and how you broke your foot.
Yeah. So, I don't remember a lot from the day. I just remember that we went out after school on a Tuesday. I was like 6 or 7, and there was just one jump that was just killing me. I kept trying to do it, and I kept pushing myself, and I would back out. And finally I went for it and slammed the brakes right at the last second. And that ended up probably being the worst case scenario and blew out my foot, broke all five bones, and got back on the bike after that for a couple races and just to have some fun, but it was never the same. And that's when I kind of realized, like, hey, maybe this isn't for me, the injuries and everything. And I still love watching it. I still love learning about it and seeing it on TV, but baseball turned into my passion after that.
Yeah. What was it about baseball when you started to take it more seriously and play it where it did turn into a passion for you?
I mean, I just think being around the guys that you are that have the same kind of mindset and work ethic that you do. I mean, it's a toll on your mind. It's a toll on your body for sure, but it's the greatest game to ever be played because of those reasons and those aspects that surround it. So, I mean, it's very competitive. You have the chance to beat any opponent at any given time. And I mean, especially with pitching, it's me versus one guy in the box. And that's all that like that I worry about.
So you went to high school at El Toro. And El Toro, I mean, that's a powerhouse baseball program. Nolan Arenado went there. Matt Chapman went there. Those guys ever come back and visit and hang out or work out or anything like that?
Yeah, they come back. They give their time for sure. They're always in the off season working out. I mean, you got Nolan and Matt. They're both trading off, taking fungos at third base and hitting in the cages. And Nolan spent some money of his own to put a roof over the cages so he can come in and kind of use it whenever he wants, rain or shine. And so they do come back. They support. And I remember one thing, like we were playing in the CIF championship and before we were on the bus headed to Dodger Stadium and Coach Gonzalez pulls up a video from Nolan and he was with the Rockies at the time. And I think he was at Coors Field and it's just him kind of saying congratulations. And it was cool to be in shoes that he's been in and just kind of take it all in and go out and win a CIF championship like they did.
I read that Tommy Lasorda came and spoke to the El Toro Baseball Club. It must have been a some type of fundraiser or something. What do you remember about this legendary guy, Tommy Lasorda? He's known for his motivational speeches. What was he like talking to your guys' baseball team?
Well, he's actually the godfather of one of my teammates at the time at El Toro. So he came in and it was some news thing that they wanted to do to promote him. And that man was funny as hell. I can tell you that he shared some unreal stories, stuff that doesn't need to be shared now, of course, but he was super funny. And it was just kind of the way that he had the mindset was to just go compete and kind of outlast the opponent and always give your best to be the best player on and off the field. And I kind of like what my dad said earlier, that there's always somebody waiting to take your job. So each day is a new opportunity to work and get better.
Wade, were you there when Lasorda spoke? Were you there?
I wasn't actually.
Where were you, in Atlanta with another travel?
I don't know. I think I want to say it was during school, so I don't think that was too many parents there.
So much for that idea. Jake, junior year, you become a catcher for El Toro. Why?
So our catcher, I mean, I don't want to put him on blast or anything, but he decided to go play in one of the redshirt leagues down in Southern California. And so we really had no other option. Our other catcher transferred to Tribeca Hills. So I was kind of like the lone guy there. It ended up being a pretty good year for me behind the plate and for the team overall. So it was fun. I think I ended up catching every single inning but four that year. And I didn't touch the mound at all, which is kind of crazy to look back at just because of the guys that we had on the mound. I mean, Sam Glick, Noah Fluman, Bradley Spooner. So guys like that on the mound, just it was pretty fun to just sit back and catch every single one of their innings that they threw that year.
How do you think that spending a year as a catcher has made you a better pitcher now?
I mean, I just think being able to know myself more as a pitcher, know how to read swings and read hitters and the way guys react and the ball comes off the bat for sure. I think I don't like to shake as much as I used to, but knowing that I could have the opportunity and trying to think my own game too, as well as letting Buck call his own game, just kind of helps out from being behind the plate.
What are your memories of winning the Southern Section Championship at Dodger Stadium?
Oh man, there wasn't a lot. I kind of, from the time I was warming up in the pen to the time we got the ground ball double play, I kind of blacked out. Just remember the team getting me, I think, two in the first inning and two in the second, and that was all I needed. I mean, I threw one of my most complete games as a pitcher. I think I threw seven innings with 76 pitches or something. And it was just lights out from the start to the end. And it was not one of the best moments that I spent at El Toro for sure.
I just watched the video of the double play in the dog pile. You're at the very bottom of the dog pile. To describe being at the bottom as all your teammates are jumping on top.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. I mean, I got tackled pretty hard, but it was worth it for sure. It was worth it. It was more adrenaline than anything, so I didn't really feel a lot, but it was pretty worth it being on the bottom.
So how do you go from the high of that, okay, and now you're a freshman, and now you're in college, and now, once again, you got to prove yourself all over again. What was the biggest transition for you, both mentally, physically, pitching, going from high school to college?
I think it was just keep the same mindset that I had. I mean, I always went out, travel ball, high school, everything, that I was the best person on that field, and nobody was going to beat me that day. And coming in here, I came with the same confident attitude that I did, just to outwork anyone and everyone and prove that I do deserve to be where I'm at. And I do deserve kind of the role that I have put myself in.
Hey, Wade, whenever Jake is pitching, whether you're watching in person or whether you're watching online, how nervous are you?
He can't stop walking, I'll tell you that.
I'm a stress case. He and I have some words that we have, you know, before every outing he has. And if I'm live at a game, he knows where I'm at and he can hear me, but I don't sit still. I remember, I'll go back to the CIF game. I remember I was with my girlfriend and, you know, her son and my daughter and her friend was there, and she got mad at me because I left in the first inning when he's on the mound, and I don't like to sit. So I disappeared. And actually after the first inning, I think I sat the entire game in my chair and didn't move. Probably the only time I've ever sat in a chair in one spot and watched the game. I remember watching just a slow game 2 weeks ago at home on the TV, and I kept getting yelled at by my girlfriend because I talk to myself, I talk to the TV, I question what's going on, and I'll close my eyes, I'll walk around the house, you know. So yeah, I'm a stress case.
What do you think about that, Jake?
I mean, it's all just because he cares. I mean, I'm the same way, you know. If I'm going well, it's pretty calm and even, but if something's going wrong or I get myself in situations, I kind of just try to calm myself down as much as I can and just know that I have the abilities and the work behind me that has prepared me in order to pitch out of things and kind of get myself out of jams when I am in jams, and just know and try to keep the same mindset that, you know, I have prepared and I have put myself in these moments before to be able to be successful.
What about after games, Wade? Do you call? Do you text? Do you wait the next day? What are post discussions like after a start?
He'll receive a text from me before he even sees it. I'll let him know what I thought of the game and how he did right away, even before the game's over. You know, my biggest thing is he knows I'm here to support, and I'm going to be his biggest critique though also. So, you know, he knows he's going to hear it from me on both sides, but you know, that's just the way a dad is. And seeing things that I can see and I think than most people can see on a baseball field. You know, I questioned right away, you know, he gave up his buddy, Brendan Brooks, in the first inning, first at bat. I'm like, my first question to him was 1-2 double, really? You know, I questioned it right away. So that was one of the first texts he probably saw after his game. And when he got to his phone was, you know, what happened there? So I'm going to, you know, but, you know, we're able to talk, but we'll talk on the phone, you know, later that evening or, you know, while he's in the hotel room, or if he's at home, we'll talk, you know, sometime that day about his outing and how he felt. And you know, I asked the questions too, and want to know how he is.
Jake, what's your goal for this season with the Wolfpack?
Oh man, we want to play in a regional. We want to play in the national championship tournament and give ourselves a chance to play in Omaha. I mean, we kind of like how my dad's situation was when he returned his senior year. We have so many guys that have returned with at-bats and innings on the mound that we do have the ability to take it into a national championship tournament. That's kind of it for us. I mean, the Nevada Wolfpack hasn't played in June in a regional in over 21 years. So we want to be the team to do it. And that was one of my main goals coming in here, was to play in a regional within my 4 years. The other one was win a Mountain West championship, and we did that my freshman year. So hopefully we can knock out the other one right now.
How much do you think about the future and what you're going to do after college?
I try to stay with just what's going on right now. I mean, I know a lot of the future kind of rides on what happens this season and where I put myself at the end of this year. But I mean, I'm just focused on winning right now. That's all I want to do, is do everything to give my team a chance to win. And if I do that and continue to work and prepare, then God's got a plan, and whatever that is, that is.
Wade, let's wrap it up with this. Give me your just thoughts on what the University of Nevada has meant to you, first as a student and as an athlete, and now as the father of a student athlete.
I mean, one of the biggest things for me was I told him he's got to graduate the degree. I didn't. I was there, you know, back then. I was, you know, I'll be honest, I was solely there to play baseball. And I remember having that conversation with Coach Powers because I was almost ineligible at the time, my junior year. And you know, it was a hard conversation with him, obviously, but I was more there to play baseball. And the biggest thing for me is, you know, I've told Jake and even my daughter and my girlfriend's son is they need a degree. You know, this isn't going to last forever. And they walk away with a degree. So one of the biggest things for me is I'll walk away looking at that he's going to graduate in May.
Jake, final thought. We'll have you leave it with this final thought about just what Nevada has meant for your entire family, for you and for your dad and everyone.
I mean, this place is home. This place has felt like home ever since he's been here. I've always been a fan of this city, this community. This place is awesome. And I mean, I know it's treated our family pretty well. I feel really acclimated here and like I fit within this city and within this school. And I mean, it's given me all the opportunities to be successful in the classroom, on the field, and anywhere else in between. So I'm forever in debt with what the university has given me. And I can't wait to graduate here and then maybe have the opportunity to play another year here or wherever that be.
All right, guys, Wade and Jake, this is an awesome way to lead off this podcast. Thanks so much for your time. Love the story. Wade, look forward to meeting you in person one day. And Jake, I'll see you at the field here soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Josh.
Once again, that was Wolfpack starting pitcher Jake Jackson and his father, former Wolfpack infielder Wade Jackson, who played for Nevada in 1995 and 1996. We hope that you enjoyed our leadoff edition of this podcast and hope that you subscribe to this podcast so that you do not miss out on any future episodes. I'm your host, Josh Sushan. We'll talk to you on the radio and hopefully get to see you at the ballpark at some point this season. Thanks for listening. Go Pack!
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.